Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I just want to encourage you this morning that we're going to be with you. We're going to be with you all day, as a matter of fact, and joining me to encourage you today is from the nearby streets of New York City, inches into really lower Manhattan, upper parts of New Jersey, John Ramos.
Hello.
Good morning, New York. Good morning, New Jersey. Also joining us this morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We want to welcome all of our new audience members that have joined us. Obviously, not all, but we want to just read off some of your names. We're so glad you're joining us. We'd love to be able to welcome as many as we can. We want to welcome Bree. Welcome Bree and Roger and John and Harry and Todd and Brian and Sherry and Jeff and Josephine. Josephine, welcome. Julian and Susan and Marie and Vanity, Hunter and Amy and Dustin and Michael and Fifi, Jimmy, Robert, Keith, and so many others. Welcome to the VFN Radio audience. If you missed yesterday, you need to listen to yesterday's program. You can do it at VFNTV.com on your app or go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. We talked about don't worrying. There's no reason to worry. Don't worry. Be happy if you serve Jesus. Living on the right side of the butt. Growing in love. Who can discern his error? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And God is pro-choice. You got to be able to check it out if you missed it yesterday. Today we're going to be talking about remembering the wonders of the Lord and so much more, sharing the wisdom moment. Hopefully, we get a chance to be able to take the citizenship test for the United States and the preamble of not only the Declaration of Independence, but the Constitution as well, the first few words of both. We're going to go back and visit that, the original intent today. We're going to remember what this is all about. We're going to be sharing some testimonies from our experiences when God reached down and touched us in Pensacola, Florida, at the Brownsville Revival that started Father's Day in 1995. Remembering the wonders of the Lord. From the light leans to the long fingers to the shaking hands. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Welcome. Here we are on this Thursday. It's Thursday, and the first thing that I want to say today is to remember our sister Pam Gray, our wonderful sister in the Lord, who has gone to be with the Lord early this morning. And it's our loss, but heaven's gain. She was so excited about being able to go and to be with the Lord. And of course, I'm sitting and talking with her and actually and trying not to deal with envy in my heart, going like, you're fixing to be there. You're going to be there. She had read 90 Minutes in Heaven. If you have not yet, read Don Piper's, and you can hear it, go to the VFN Torch and listen to 90 Minutes in Heaven, his experience when he got in a car accident, and instantly he left his body, his spirit left his body, but he's with God. He's in heaven. And he was himself, so we're not our bodies. We're spirits that have bodies that possess a soul, and that becomes so real upon that time of transition between this lifetime and that. But it was the most awesome thing. I mean, all the people that he knew personally, that maybe they didn't know each other, they all just come running from all directions to welcome him into heaven, and everybody was just, you could tell that it was them, but they weren't. All the pain and the sickness and the tears and disease was gone. It was just so bright, bright white, but it wasn't blinding white. It was just beautiful white, and the sound of heaven. She's hearing the sound of heaven this morning, and as he talks about his experience, because he had come back to his body when somebody had prayed, 90 minutes later, and he says, of all the things I miss about heaven, is the sound of, even the sound of heaven.
Wow.
And,
mm.
you know, our sister Pam is experiencing that this morning, and we're looking forward to our reunion with her and the Lord, and we're praying for her family. Please remember her family.
Yes.
This morning, but it's just an awesome testimony. I mean, everything that her life is, and not only did she minister in the time that she had, but she's ministering even that she there's a part of Vine Fellowship Network University that she continues to minister today, mm-hmm. you know, as a part that she played in that, and then people get it's just you know, I just thank God for Pam, I thank God for her family, you know, and we just wrap our arms around. Her family and her daughter Tracy, who is an awesome woman of God, and it's just it's a time to really just remember the family in prayers. But we just want to, if you haven't, you know, go to the VFN Torch, type in 90, the number 90 minutes in heaven, and find out and what you can be experiencing, what she's experiencing now. Because mm-hmm. the second he left his body, he was in heaven and he was experiencing it. So we're not, you know, You can't hold this body down. I mean, you know, and thank God, you know, when you're young, you're thinking like, I don't know if I want to lose my body. You know, as you progress, it's like, I can chunk this puppy in a heartbeat and I can get my heavenly body. You know what I'm saying?
I'm ready to trade it in.
Trade this thing in.
I'm ready for an upgrade.
Yeah. And that's what Pam, you know, Pam's got a heavenly body. It's just cool. It's just so cool. And it was so cool because we got to talk about it. Because when I brought up 90 Minutes in Heaven, we're just talking about it. She goes, yeah, I read it. And we're just, it was just really cool. And to hear her wishes, and this Sunday we're going to be just having a memorial and a funeral service for her, just remembering her and honoring her this Sunday, and we just thank God for Pam. Mm. Mm. Well, here we are. Here we are on Thursday, and we want to talk to you about first, so many things are going on. We want to share with you first about, you know, our Secretary of State, it's very important. You know, when you think of Amos was a prophet, but he wasn't a prophet. He was a shepherd who prophesied. You know, mm-hmm. God called him to prophesy to kings. So much so that Jeroboam, the king, told him, he said, listen, you just need to go to Judea. You know, you're a prophet. Just go up there and minister up the street. We don't want to hear you anymore. And he goes, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm a shepherd. And I was just doing my job, and God told me to come here and tell you, you have messed this thing up. Mm. You have messed this thing up. And, it was Jeroboam. And of course he just started doing things his own way, trying to protect what he had. He was scared to allow God to do what he was doing. And even though God was dividing up his people, God was doing it. And, and he just wanted to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was telling them, when you think about Amos, which is important, you know, you need to read this. Look at the Bible. When you read the Bible, I guess I'm talking to 19% of the listen, let's just talk to 100%. Start reading your Bible now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Amos prophesied to Israel was, you better read it now because of what you've done. If you don't repent, not only will you not be able to get out of what's coming, but I'm going to take the word from you where you can't even go to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be horrific when you think, wow. Oh my goodness. But you know, but if you're in the word and you're abiding with God, the word becomes, it gets in you. And at some point they could take it from you.
Mm-hmm.
They could take
mm-hmm.
the printed word from you, but they can't take the living word from you.
Come on, man.
But if you never spent time with the living word,
that's right.
You know, you're going to be hunting and pecking and trying to figure out what's going on. And just a thought of, and God said this, he said, I'm going to take, you know, you're not going to be able to find out my word. And I take it from you. And so, but what was so encouraging is, you know, when God said, you know, I'm going to bring this destruction against Israel. And, you know, Amos goes, he stands in the gap
mm-hmm.
and he says, oh, but we're a small city. We're small. If you do that, we're going to be destroyed. Please don't do that.
Mm.
And God goes, okay, I won't do that. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he talks about another storm, such as a fire coming and destroying. And, of course, he goes, oh, my goodness. Because you know why? You can hear Amos's heart is that he loved God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And we never rejoice. We learned that in the wisdom moment, I think, this week, that we never rejoice in disaster or that type of situation. It doesn't matter who it is. And understanding that you know, Moses, when he saw Miriam get hit with leprosy, even though she got hit with leprosy because God allowed her to get hit with leprosy because of what she had done, you know, he still was broken over the situation and asked God. He interceded. And that means basically when, imagine a big, huge, MMA type wrestler. What's that stand for? Martial arts and
mixed martial arts.
Yes. And imagine, okay, and this dude's coming towards a lady, and he's saying, you know, I'm gonna martial art her, right? And so John, he's gonna intercede. And so what he's gonna do is he's gonna run in between the MMA person, man, and the little lady. And he's going to stand like that. And he's going to put his hand against the knee of the martial arts. He's going to put his hand up that in the face of the martial arts guy. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to put his hand to the lady and keep them apart. But he's not going to talk to them. And then he's going to look up to God. And he's going to say, "Dear God, this man's going to destroy this woman. Stop this." It's not, John's not going to wrestle this MMA dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like into this cage fighting stuff all of a sudden. He's not going to physically do this, but he's going to stand in between them, and he's going to look up. Imagine yourself now, you're standing in between the disaster that's coming to America, for example, and the people of America that it's going to happen to. And so you put your hand out to America, and you say, "Stop." And then you put your hand out to the disaster, and you're giving that hand to stop. But you don't look at them. You look straight up. And you say, "Dear God, this is going to destroy them. This is going to bring them to a place that if they don't know you and if this kills them, they will burn in hell forever. Dear God, give them a chance. You know, stop this disaster. Stop this economic crisis. Change our leadership. Melt our hearts. Bring us to a place of repentance. Don't do this." That's what Amos was doing, and that's what Abraham did. And when you were looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
That's right.
You know, and God was fixing to bring great destruction. And all of a sudden, you know, Abraham, he took his hand and put it towards the city of Sodom, and he took his other hand and put it towards the destruction, that was fiery brimstone that was going to come down. And he looked up and said, "Won't you spare the city?" And he began to name it, "So if you find this many righteous people." And he stopped at a certain number. You always wonder if he would have went down a little bit more, because today we're looking at way worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And God, you know, God was, if he went to look for the number that he asked for. Mm-hmm. And we just have to ask. Listen, if disaster, you know, God's showing us disaster is happening and is going to happen, but he doesn't want to bring it. He wants us to stand in the gap and say, "Listen, give us more time. Help us out, God. Stop this storm." And it eventually, and that's called intercession, by the way. It's not somebody doing something. I like what, I can think of his name right now. And he says, you know, intercessors sometimes do some very weird things. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in the church long enough, you've seen some wild things. And but it's not the whole church, it's just some intercessors, you know, some.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, you know, the one that talks about hotel towels, and Ray Hughes. Anyway, we won't talk about what he said. So Ray Hughes, and he says, you know, "Whatever you got to do, grab a chicken, run around the room. Listen, we need, you know," and, you know, talking about the weird things that happen, or you think about, you know, Morning Star when, you know, Don is playing his music and his intercessors just kind of keeping all the second heaven off of him and stuff. Yeah. You know, and that would just, Pat couldn't play his guitar. Somebody doing that around him, right? You're messing my head up. But it's called intercession. And this is what God says. God looks and looks for a man to stand in the gap so he does not have to destroy the land. But then he says, but he found none.
Hmm.
And so God looks for somebody, and I believe there's people in America right now, I know there are, you know, probably in every state, in every city, you know, who love God and who are interceding, who are praying, and God hears that. And so we just got to begin to say, you know, are you going to do it? Are you going to stand in the gap? Are you going to ask God? But there came a point with Amos that, you know, God progressively was going to do this, and he was going to do that, and it was going to bring great destruction. He was going to leave a remnant, you know, of people, mm-hmm. but it was going to be very bad. And, you know, with that, finally God says, I'm just going to bring my plumb line. I'm going to bring my plumb line, and I'm going to begin to measure them with my plumb line. And if they're off, then they're out. And what the plumb line is, you know, for the church is to let you know, it's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And when 19% of the church is even looking at the plumb line, And according to George Barna, and only 3% of the church is even looking at it and concerned about where they relate to the plumb line. And a plumb line is this. Imagine this. Imagine a string with a heavy piece of metal on the bottom of it. So no matter what happens, you know, when you're holding one end of the string and the metal at the other end of it, the bottom end is a piece of metal, then that means that that the string is straight and it lines up with gravity. And that's how you build houses. That's how you build skyscrapers. Is everything starts with a plumb line. And you can take God's word and hold it up before you like a plumb line, and you can see where you are, which is so cool, which means all you need is you and God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit as you read his living word, that you make Jesus the Lord of your life and say, here I am, and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Then that's what you need. You can line up and you can survive, because the ones who lined up with the plumb line were going to make it. And the ones who didn't were out.
That's right.
So we need to really, you know, think about that. Understand that intercession is not a, not some weird, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you do it, praise God, you know, thank God for it. But don't think it's something, you just got to put your hand out, and you don't have to fight the MMA fighter. You don't have to go out and fight some political party or some weird stuff like that. You're thinking, how do I do that? You just got to put your hand out and acknowledge the storm that's coming that God's talked about towards the storm. Put your hand out in compassion towards the people that are about to experience the consequences of that storm. And don't look at either one of them. Just look up as you're standing in the middle and say, dear God. Dear God, stop this, Lord. Please, God, stop. Don't let this disaster come. And it's amazing. I mean, instantly, with Amos, a shepherd who God called to prophesy, but he wasn't from the prophets, little prophets and all, that God stopped it. And I know many times that it looked like things were going to happen, and we prayed, and God just stopped it. God is a God that loves to respond to people, because that's who he, that's an imitation of Jesus. That's what Jesus has done for us. See, there's consequences for our sin. It's eternal separation from God, and we all deserve the judgment of hell. But Jesus stood in between hell and us, and he stretched out his hand, and they nailed both of them to a cross. And then he looked up, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's at that moment that we say, you know what, Lord? You know what, Father? I accept the intercession of Jesus Christ. I say that is my only way to make it. I did deserve this to happen to me, but it's, but I'm just gonna accept Jesus and what he's done for me, and allow his blood to cover my sins. And I know, because you look for, you've always shown us, you look for an intercessor. And today, because Jesus' death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, he now, he was risen from the dead, and he sits at the right hand, stands at the right hand of God, making intercession. He's constantly standing between the consequences of our sin and us, and looking at the Father and say, forgive them. If we pray, you know, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that awesome, John?
Awesome. It's incredible. And Lord knows that I did a lot of intercession. and I don't know if Pat does too, or he probably does. But it's so good. I mean, we understand that God is the one that's, that stands in the gap. Jesus stands in the gap for us. You know, so many people are quick to maybe point a finger or to look at somebody and say, listen, we need to be intercessors. We don't need to rejoice when someone is going down, when someone is being taken down by something. We need to be intercessors in the earth, intercessors in our families, intercessors at our workplace, intercessors in our community, where we're willing to plead to heaven, plead to God, and warn people of the destruction that lies ahead, and yet look up to heaven and say, God, God, intervene. God, stop what's happening. Don't let them fall prey to this. Don't let them be taken down, but help them to turn their hearts back to you. And I'm just encouraged by this word. And it's just so good. This is a time that we absolutely need to stand in the gap. I mean, our nation's at a major crossroads, and our nation definitely needs to turn back its heart to God. But it's, that's not going to happen until the church, until the church turns their heart back to God.
And it's so cool. All you have to do is say, dear God, I see the storm, and I see the people, and have compassion over the people. It's okay to have compassion over the people, even the ones that are in sin. That's when we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. That's us. That's totally us. And that's what we're supposed to do for the others. Listen, God can stop this storm. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my
she
goodness.
Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord and how they can spend time with God and how they can abide and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed, the Bronx, you know, New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iobide.org.
John.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a time that I was just bound. I had so many things happening, and just I felt so restrained. And, you know, I know God's word tells us that we're, you know, he came to unbind us, to be able to set us free. And I just felt just oppressed and just bound. And I thought, you know, what can I do about this? And then I figured, you know what? I'm just going to get a bigger pair of pants. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and move up from size 28 to 29. And it was amazing. I mean, I felt so free when I actually decided to say, you know, it's time to move up in size. We got to let the 28s go. You know, it was totally amazing. No longer bound. I am free. I want to remind you, we are going to make available to you and a link, hopefully, in the top three today, the 90 minutes in heaven. Be encouraged to look at what's ahead for us. God has great plans. He's prepared a place for you and us, and we have so much to look forward to. And what we have in this life is a time to intercede, as we talked about just then, and to be able to minister, to be able to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we like to talk about also the original intent of the church and the original intent of the nation. And in that, today, you think about what was the original documents, the original thoughts, you know. And of course, there was a lot of thoughts. You had the Federalist Papers that you can actually read. And by the way, I read about half of them.
Right.
And this was stuff that they were writing back and forth in the Federalist Papers under code names, you know. getting out of here, Mister, get out of here, leave the king. And it was pretty interesting with their thought patterns. It's nothing like the thought pattern of today. And but the thought pattern today has happened because the thought pattern of the church has changed. And so we don't want to, you know, think it's a political thing. But in that understanding that so what did they write when they finally came together, when they thought it all the way through, when they thought it all the way through and said, okay, we're going to write this thing down. By the way, that first thing they wrote, well, not the first thing, but the official thing they wrote was the Declaration of Independence. And that was their declaration. Okay, we decided, you know, our forefathers, they decided to say, listen, we're going to have to step away from the king because of many reasons, not just taxation without representation. But the biggest thing was, you know, the church. You couldn't even, the church, the king took over the church. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you had to, there was only one church, he said, and he was over it. And that's a huge one. That's why the First Amendment's about that. And the one of the other things is representative government, that they would make decisions. And in America, or in the colonies, 13 colonies, and by the time the king heard about it, he would change it. He would just go, you know, as a king can do, and they would change it. So this king thing ain't working out over here because we came over here to be free from that kind of oppression. We want to be able to worship God freely, and we don't think that the government should have any
control
or make any laws concerning God, religion. Mm-hmm. And that we should be able to gather. They can't tell us we can't gather. We should be able to gather at any time. And you're looking at the opposite of that happening today. It looks like America is going in the total opposite direction. But to remember that, we're going to play the, you're going to hear the first few words of the Declaration of Independence, which is very important. We should memorize these words. And we're also going to hear the preamble to the Constitution as Robert Freeman reads them. Listen up.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Those are such powerful words, and it was the first words they began to write down, which is, you know, if you taken writing in English, and you know, the very first thing you say has to talk about everything that justifies everything else you're about to say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just wander off and say whatever and then start writing about what you really mean. The first thing you say sets the foundation for everything else that's going to be said. And those, you know, we said we hold those truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal by our Creator. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, And it's like we got to get back to the original intent of our nation, and that with it, you know, we have rights, but our rights come from God, not from men. It's not, we don't look to Washington, D.C. to give us our rights. We look to God. Our rights come from God. But you find out that when you hear, you know, things, statements made by our president and others there saying that the Bill of Rights is a list of negative rights. It's a list of negative rights. And it's like, no, actually, it just acknowledges some of the rights that we involve government in that we got from God. So really, you know, it doesn't really matter what you think about them, because it's a government by the people and for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and it says, you know, when it becomes self-evident that this ain't working, since it, we can rechange that. It's defined that way. And it was getting away from the oppression of the king, and it was coming to a free country, a nation, an idea of freedom, and that we can, under God, with a moral nation, with God as the head, it can survive. You can do it. And it's been proven so far, but we're wandering from our original intent. And if we get back, and we can get back, I really believe, we got some bumpy roads coming, but there's nothing like a big bump in the road that puts your priorities right.
Get you right back in perspective.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you, you'll be hearing a lot of this as we progress into 2013, is that it's time for the church to lift Jesus up. Mm. It's time, just lift him up. He says, if I'll be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You know, don't lift anything else up but Jesus. And he will draw people to him, and it's in that discipleship and abiding with him that he begins to bring everything back to a place that he wants it to be all over the world. And so 2013, you're going to be hearing this continually. It's time to lift Jesus up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're going to talk more about this, but the original tent of America is, listen, it has to be a moral and a religious people. It has to be in the Bible is what our founding fathers had, and that's what they defined it by. They probably had no idea where it would be taken eventually, but it was with that. And I believe it's something like 27 images of the Ten Commandments are in the Supreme Court, painted on the walls of the Supreme Court. And what they say today is that's Moses holding the I forget what they say. It's crazy, whatever they say. Obviously Moses wouldn't be holding something that was like 4,000 years later. But it was something like, that's last week's memo from the... No, it's just something made up. I can't tell you what it is right now because it's totally left my mind. But it's just something so silly that justifies the ignorance of today. But I want to encourage you that's the original tent. I want you to listen to that. Listen again and again. Put that as a part. You know, you can have it in your highlights on your app and on your computer. You go to VFNTV.com and listen to it. You can go to VFN Torch and just download it, use it, hear it, and just say, you know what? I want that part of my heart. I want that part of my life because that's who we are. That's our original intent for this nation. And then get back in the Word of God, the plumb line, as we talked about, because that's God's original intent for me, for his church. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
Well, I want to say it is time for the citizenship test.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
We finally made it back. Okay. Finally made it back. And we're going to, everybody who wants to become a citizen, which I think everybody needs this test. I mean, we're learning as we go, but we're getting back reacquainted with the original tent of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 100 questions you have to answer. And to help us out to see what it's like, John and Pat has volunteered to be humiliated across the nations to be able to answer these questions. They have not looked. They have not looked at the answers.
Nope.
I don't know how John knew that it was multiple choice, but that's just between him and God and the throne of God. And I'll stop. What that means.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm guilty as charged.
That's like Pat's what?
What?
Oh, stop. Isn't that the bank bag, the robbery bank bag? Anyway, so we got 5 questions here, and we're taking them 5 at a time. And what way it works is, you know, when you're ready to give your answer, you'll get time to think. When you get time to think about it, you'll hear. And that gives you time to think. But when you're ready to get the answer, you have to let me know that's your final answer. And at that particular point, we'll listen to what your answer is. And, of course, if you get it right, you know, we will all celebrate. We will celebrate with you. Oh, there you go. And if you get it wrong, you will hear. The whole world will hear. So here we are.
No pressure. Get them right now.
No pressure at all.
You either.
The very first question today on the U.S. citizenship test goes to Pat. And it's actually question 41, but it's 5 today. So this is the first of the 5 today. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one power that belongs to the federal government? Read that again. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the federal government. What is one of those powers that belongs to the federal government. Okay, here's the question. He's ready. The question is, under our Constitution, some powers, you're going to be surprised how limited these are.
Yeah, right.
Some powers belong to the federal government. And all you have to do, Pat, all you have to do is say, what
all
is,
you have to do.
Yeah, all you have to do mm-hmm. is what is one of those powers that belong to the federal government?
B. No, I'm kidding.
What was that joke? That was an attempt to be funny.
Get oh, again. Was it?
Yeah, apparently didn't work.
Yeah,
would that be martial law?
How about for steal? I get it. Work on being.
All right,
safe.
You want to steal? Go ahead, steal.
Raise taxes? I guess
yeah, they're actually doing it, right?
They're doing it.
Well, this is what the test says. There's four. They can only do four things. Provide health care.
Provide health care.
That's not it. To print money. To declare war. To create an army. And to make treaties. Isn't that amazing?
All right.
I think they've actually created a few more liberties. You know.
Wow, it's amazing.
You know, by the way, in April the 2nd, 1917, is when President Woodrow Wilson asked Congress to declare war on Germany. April the 2nd, 2017. Okay, next one. We're going to go to the next one. They're doing a lot more today than they were.
Yeah.
1917.
More. Yeah. Well, yeah, well, they're doing a lot more than those four things. They're like, come on.
Yeah, right.
You know, when to print money means, they are printing money.
They are cranking out
some. As a matter of fact, they have the fastest printing machine in the West, and it's just printing money so fast that the money in our account is just like dwindling. And its value. To declare war, we don't call it war anymore. We just call it, like, we're having a little disturbances.
Conflict.
And really, you shouldn't do that. You should just, either it's war or it's not. And to create an army and to make treaties. Okay, John. John, here is your question on the U.S. citizenship test. And, of course, we don't want you to have to self-deport.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is. Number two for today. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? Under the Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? By the way, don't use Mayor Bloomberg as a guide. Okay, here's the question. Here's the question that's for you, John. Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one of the states' powers? The thinking part was over.
Oh, come on.
Ready? Okay, here it is.
I'm gonna shoot out here on the left here.
Is that saying you're going to fail before you start?
Probably.
Man of faith.
Soften the blow here. Could they create their own, like, a state militia, like a National Guard?
Of course, this is what's in the what it says in the Constitution. Here it is. Here's the answer. The answer is the state. Let me read the question one more time so we have the context. Under our Constitution, so that's what kind of helps you understand the question, is that this is what's written in the Constitution. Some powers belong to the states. What are one of those powers? Well, I'll tell you what's written in there. Provide schooling and education, which makes you wonder, why is the National Education Association in existence? Because that is a state. The Constitution says that is a state. That is a state power. Another one is to, well, this could be it. This could, it's not a militia, but provide protection, which would be police, you know, which is, you know, law enforcement. Provide safety, such as like the fire department and things such as that. Give driver's license. And approve zoning and land use. Zoning and land use. I think our federal government is even getting involved in that. We've got to get back to the original intent. Oh, my goodness. This is very helpful. We're really finding out how far off Congress, the executive, the judiciary, and the legislative branch is off the original intent. Okay, John, here's the next question.
A little humor.
Okay, Pat.
I'm paying attention here.
You sure were. You look straight up.
I saw those eyebrows.
I know, right up under his hat. Okay, next question. Pat, here goes. What is, this is from the test for citizenship to America. What is the governor, what is the governor? I don't know what he is. No. Who is the governor of your state? All right, got it. The question is, who is the governor of your state?
That would be Rick Scott.
Yeah, actually, Rick Scott. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just saw a picture of his wife, Tracy, with the governor when he stopped by to see where she works at. And she spent some time shaking his hand and meeting him. I got a chance to meet him when he was running for governor. Right there, his hair gets in his eyes.
Yeah, kind of shaggy.
That's Florida, obviously. How about Jersey? I think we know who the Jersey is, right? He's the one that hugged the president into office. Gave him a big hug and a big kiss and got him 4 more years.
we know who he is. Well, he's gearing up for 2016. Chris Christie.
Is he really?
Oh. Okay, probably. Next question, John. Here's a question. What is the capital of your state? Great, that's quick. Wow. What is the capital of your state?
Which
is
Trenton, New Jersey.
All right. Woo! Very good. Trenton, New Jersey. I guess we can go ahead and ask.
That would be Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee.
Oh, wow, that was quick. You saw that.
Yeah, that is the city and the place of my birth.
Yeah.
In Leon
Amazing.
County, Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, here we are. This is the last question. We're moving right along. John. What are the two major political parties in the...
Two more.
Very good. Pat. John. Another surprise. John, what are the two major eras? No, what are the two major political parties?
Oh, actually, it is mine.
Is it? Chain.
Wait, Chris is messing me up over there.
Get it together.
Pat. What was the last question? Governor?
Yes.
Capital of your state.
The capital of your state. No, you just asked for a second.
He
just
that's right. Threw me off.
Man, he's like you got up early or something today.
No, it was mine. I asked Rick Scott.
We got to follow us.
Okay.
Follow us.
All right.
What is the capital of your state? Was the last question.
It was Trenton, New Jersey.
All right. Moving on.
Since we knew you knew it, we let you say what yours was. He's taking his coat off and he's getting hot. Okay.
Temperature's rising.
Pat, here you go. You can tell his ears are red. No, actually, they're black. Okay, there you go.
And his nose is twinkling.
Yeah. Amazing. It's amazing. Okay, here you go. What are the two major political parties in the United States, Pat? What are the two major political parties in the United States? Okay, here he is. Your final answer, right?
Yeah.
What are the two major political parties in the United States?
That would be Republicans and Democrats.
Yay! What is the logo or the emblem or they put out for each party?
An elephant and a donkey.
Which one's which?
Elephants, the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Donkeys are the Democrats.
Right. The
is that right?
Yeah. But you know, we don't have to have just two political parties, and I really believe this is what's going to turn America around after we turn back to God. is when we realize that we can have like the Labor Party, we can have the Conservative Party, we can have different parties. And I believe it was the first president of the United States, I believe, that said the two-party system will destroy this country. Because you can't fit everything into two parties.
Yeah, you're right.
And what happens is you have two parties heading in a direction, and they find out when they're running for office, we got to start sucking in some new ideas. We got to take in those ideas. We can't, you know, it's like, no, what did you stand for when you began, and why did you change? Because there's only a two-party system right now. We need several parties. And you'll find out it's going to be more appropriate for the country, I believe. Personally, I believe. There's a new party. Actually, it's been prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
I believe by Rick Joyner of Morningstar, the new political party will begin to develop and form. And I believe it's just going to be a founding father, conservative, Jesus is Lord party. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that that will be easy for people to be able to make a decision. Okay, here is the final question, and it is for John. Is that it? Oh, my goodness. We've come to an end. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll be right back after these messages.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search and your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go. I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just, every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. You catch us, as we're going to be sharing not only the wisdom moment, but we're also going to be sharing from an encounter with God, an encounter where God's presence just was poured out in such a way that it's going to so encourage you. Because David said, you know, that as he's writing in the Psalms, we want to remember the wonders and the miracles of the Lord. We're going to begin to share some testimonies of something that may really surprise you, how awesome God is. You may have heard intellectually who God is, but to understand, you know, some of the things that we're describing, where Pam is right now in the presence and the power of God, he's just awesome. Mm-hmm. And he just poured a little bit of his awesomeness out at a place at 3100 West DeSoto Street in Pensacola, Florida. Started on a Father's Day 1995. We're going to begin to share with you some testimonies. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be in the extra hour today. And you're just going to be, it's going to encourage you. It's going to cause you to want to, you know what, God, I want that in my life. I want your presence in my life. And all these other things, these distractions, these all these noises and everything, you just want them out of your life, and all you want, everything's got to go. I got to have God. So be very, very encouraged. You'll be very, very encouraged in the extra hour. Also, Pat, what was that you wanted to share? Well, thank you very much. That was very good.
I forgot.
He was giving me his eyebrows went up and his chin went down, and he didn't show me a card, so I didn't know what it meant. So, with that,
yeah,
he's having issues.
Sure. Yeah. Some cards.
Be free, free. They just had a movement right here.
I think they changed my pants size.
Yeah, most definitely. The but yeah, you want to hear these testimonies. You want to hear these testimonies about what God has done, what he's doing. And, okay, thank you. Oh, my goodness. He didn't have a lot of sleep.
That's
I'm going to enjoy this moment for a moment. Okay, that was good. That was good. I know that, you know, I just was chatting with, you know, Sharon in Denver, you know, we were texting, and because they said it was this huge snowstorm in Denver, yep. and it's going wow. sideways. And of course, she said it didn't affect them as much, but it did affect the airport. You know, her and Brett do work at the airport. Give a shout out to you guys. Stay warm. Drive careful. Driving on ice is an interesting thing. Driving on snow, if the road looks shiny, America, don't.
Yeah, slow down.
Roads aren't meant to be shiny. It's not a good thing. I was watching one particular car in this news clip from, I think, probably northeastern area. And it was just this truck that was just going its way, a little pickup truck. And as soon as it hit ice, it's just you have no control, none whatsoever.
None whatsoever.
And it just started just turning all which away. So I want to encourage everybody, check your tires, get your chains out for your tires, do everything you need to do. And if you don't have the right stuff, stop. If you don't have the right stuff, stop. Sure. It's better to stop and wait because you choose to than have to stop and wait because you have to because your car ended up in a wreck. There's wisdom out there to be able to be on these streets. Well, we'll join you with the testimonies now. The testimonies are going to be pretty exciting. They're exciting to us. It's all about God in the extra hour. Don't miss it. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.